I'm Brittany French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. We'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Welcome to another episode of the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast. It's springtime out there on the plains, and there's a lot going on, from spring foraging to turkey hunting and campouts and springtime fishing. It's a fantastic time of year, and I am here for it. Rob, I hope you've been able to have a chance to get out there and enjoy some of the spring weather lately.
Yeah, Brittany, you know, I'm with you. Springtime is a pretty fantastic time of year to get out, enjoy some nice weather after that long haul of a winter. Seems that winter always tries to hang on a little bit longer than we think. You know, you get that teaser warm day, but I think it was cool this morning, but I think we're kind of past those. Hopefully nobody's gonna have to cover up their new tomato, little baby tomato plants or anything
yet. I agree.
Hopefully we're done with that, but we've been doing a lot of horseback riding and some ranch work here lately. It's that time of year. We get all the cattle out on the grass and that have been in being fed over the winter. And we did some turkey hunting early, but I haven't done much fishing yet this spring, and I'm kind of disappointed in myself. And so my youngest son, Carver, he's like this fishing fanatic, and he always catches the biggest fish too. So he told me just this morning on the way to school, Dad, we got to get out. We got to get some fishing in. So I know that he's definitely ready to cast a line.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's pretty cool to hear from your kid on the way to school. Usually it's grumbles, right? Early mornings, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Instead, right? It's like, Dad, let's just get out and go. I really love that. Well, a lot of my background, as some of you guys probably know and have heard through other episodes that we've recorded about, is in Western Kansas, and grew up a lot around hunting, you know, horseback riding, many, many sports, but, you know, very limited when it comes to angling. My family didn't fish that much. And if we did, my grandma handed me a can of corn and was like, go for it. And so I'm always excited to kind of learn from new guests that we have on here and learn new skills to expand on my outdoor adventuring resume, if you will. So that brings us to today's guest, a master angler who hails from my neck of the woods. Journey was born and raised in Dodge City, Kansas, has been fishing since he was a child, where his passion for the sport began, where he would just fish in his neighborhood pond. I think that's where a lot of people ended up getting started as a child. So I just love hearing that. Journey is constantly challenging himself by competing in fishing tournaments and mentoring others. He is a Cabela's Pro Staff and is joining us today to cover spring blue cat fishing. Journey, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
What's going on, Brittany? What's going on, Rob? Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah, hey, thank you.
Yeah, before we start the show, I'd like to, you know, get a shout out to all my sponsors like Cabela's, Bass Pro, Apex Tackle. I mean, I got a long list of them, you know, since I do a lot of, you know, fishing for different kinds of species. But, you know, like you said, it just started out with catfishing when I was a kid, you know, neighborhood pond. And we were just fishing bullheads with, you know, washers and you know, little eagle J hooks and whatever line we could find. But yeah, that's how it all started for me, you know. And we never really grew around it. I mean, my dad, we fish catfish, but it was, you know, ugly sticks and Zepco 33s. But, you know, I mean, we all know that story. But as you got older, you know, of course, you know, the gear upgraded and it gets a lot more serious, but yeah, so that's how I'll start off for me. So
that's good stuff. I think that that push button Zebco 33, that's, I don't know what they put on it, you know, Walmart or wherever you pick one up, it's got like 12 pound mono on it that I think a lot of people.
You know, my Zepco 33 was an ugly stick, and it was a rhino. I only heard those catfish rhino rods with the glow in the dark tips. Yeah, that rod was awesome. Uh-huh. And I never get that rod. That was like one of my favorite rods. That's, you know, fishing stuff around. Yeah, fishing around Ford County Lake. Brittany, you know, Haynes Lake used to be good, you know, when it had a lot of water. Clark County, so just close to our Dodge City area. Mm-hmm. But Ford County used to be really good for channel cat out there. But I don't know about now, but
yeah, let's pray we get some good rain across the plains. Yeah, it would certainly help a lot of these smaller ponds.
Yeah, we need every inch of it for sure. But
So, Journey, it sounds like you do a lot of fishing for a lot of different species and using a lot of techniques. But I know Brittany and I, we were talking about having you on as a guest and excited about that opportunity. And it was kind of hard to narrow down. It's like, well, what do we want to really ask you about? Because, it sounded like, and I'm sure this is true, that we could really have you on for several episodes of like, hey,
Yeah,
let's talk
sure.
about bass fishing, let's talk about walleye fishing. But recently, and maybe this is just my social media feed or my friends, but it seems to me that blue cat fishing on the Great Plains or just in general,
Oh,
but
yeah.
in this region that we try to key on, it's getting a lot of attention lately. People are
Oh, yeah.
targeting these blue cats. When I was growing up, if you heard about a blue cat, maybe that was in Texas or some other far off place that I wasn't ever probably going to go fish. But now it's like this, one of the main targets, I think, in the region. So I guess, what are your thoughts about that? Do you think that's right? How did we get here? And what do you think about blue cats in general?
Blue catfish, I think, is one of the best species to go after, is because number one, I mean, they grow pretty big, and everybody want to catch a trophy catfish. And Kansas has been really pretty good lately, depending on some of the lakes, because nobody never really targeted them. I know some of these reservoirs here, they release fish years ago. So, and then the tournament scene just came around. I mean, it's been around for a while, but it didn't get big until recently. We used to start out with 10 to 15 boats. Now it's like 20, even 100 boats around here for some of these tournaments. So, all the kids and stuff, they just want to go out and just catch a big fish. So that's how it's getting pretty big and pretty popular. So, but it's not just that. I mean, you got plenty of small ones. I mean, they're good to eat too. So why not?
Yeah, I agree. I wonder if so much of that too revolves around social media and just
Oh
more
yeah. Yeah. Oh
awareness in
yeah.
terms
And
of
social.
like, oh, Journey posted here and he's fishing out there.
Yeah.
There's so much of that. And that's a whole nother argument people can get into about sharing spots and things of that nature.
Oh
But
yeah. So
I agree with you. I hear people talk more about blue cat fishing more and more year after year. And it's becoming very popular.
oh
What are
yeah.
Journey, I'm curious, what's like an average for listeners who are going out there and they're new to blue cat fishing, they don't really have any expectations. What's an average catch for a blue cat? What can someone anticipate? And then what's some of the biggest blue cat you've caught before?
So my biggest is a 52 pound, and I caught that on Milford Lake.
That is a
And
toad.
yeah, it is big, and I came close to catching a pretty big one. I lost a pretty big one time, but anywho, it's the best time to, like you said, expectation in the springtime is probably the best time to catch them, because anybody can go out there and catch a 30, 40 pounder. You just never know. So what's happening in springtime is the reason why it's so good to go out there in the springtime is, the shad. You also got all the bait, because blue cats are they're predators. They're not like channel cats where they just lay around and sniffing around for stink bait, whatever. Blues are actual predators. They feed on live fish, they feed shad, especially shad. They even eat birds too. We caught blues in the fall where those, hunting those birds on the lake, and they'll eat those seagulls and stuff too. Because
Really?
oh yeah, we had a tournament and we caught one, I think 2 years ago, and we had one puked out a duck. So but
Wow.
anywho, yeah, it's crazy. It's seagulls, bones, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in live wells, and they puking them out. But I think springtime is the best time, and anybody can go out there and catch them. What's happening is the water start warming up and the shad push up shallow. And a lot of times the guys catch these blue cats, there's mud on them. Well, these fish have been sitting in the mud, and the reason why that's shallow, I mean, I'm talking about under a foot of water. Because these shad are getting pushed up to shallow water because the water is warmer, and the spawn is about to be happening too. So of course, if there's bait, there's gonna be blue cats. So you catch them anywhere where the river's coming in, any mud flats. To a lot of listeners, you want to know where to catch them: mud flats, anywhere where the river's coming in. I mean, it's the best time to catch them, before when the water, and then when the water start warming up, so your shad will push out after they're spawned. They go deeper, so that's when they spread out, and it's harder to catch them. But
Okay.
any banks, any windblown banks where they're pushing, where shallow and where the waves pushing bait in, That's where you're going to find all your look at it. And it's pretty easy fishing. And you don't have to cast it far. I mean, we're over here on the boat watching guys catching them right out of the bank. So, I mean, it's easy. I mean, anybody can catch them. And it's all you need is a rod and a reel and fresh bait.
So let's back up just a little bit. I'm curious, you know, Brittany was talking about, you know, what the average size, I guess, of these fish.
Oh, yeah, average.
Yeah, yeah. So I just for perspective for our listeners, right? So I'm thinking about, you know, if you're at, you know, a farm pond or a community lake, maybe a city park, mm-hmm. and you catch a 12 to 14 inch largemouth bass, right? Mm-hmm. That thing's probably going to weigh between maybe two pounds. You know, an 8 pound largemouth bass is a big fish, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And so I think I heard you say 30 or 40 pounds, like that. That's like a reasonable expectation. If you put your time in, you're probably going to catch a 30 or 40 pound fish, right?
Oh yeah. If you go and daily catch a 30 or 40 pound fish, but the average to me is like 8-15 pounds. And depending where you go, Milford has a lot of, so Milford have a slot limit of 25, I believe 40 inch, I believe. I forgot what it is, but it's at least a 20 pound fish for you to.
No, wait a minute. Before you get too far, you said a 40 inch fish. So
yep.
There's 48 inches in 4 feet, right? Yeah. So,
yeah. So, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the slot limit, and for our listeners, you explain that slot limit.
So some of these lakes to put a slot limit in just to preserve the breeders, I believe. I'm not the DNR, but I think it was like they keep the starter size and slot limit. So those are your breeder fish, you know. So you can't keep anything within. So Milford, for example, is a 25 to 40 inch slot. So when you catch any fish at 25 to 40 inch, it has to go back. And you keep only, one fish over 40 inches, which is a 20 plus pound fish. But anything under 25, you keep five, or, you know, equal five, four unders, which we call them unders, and one over. So, and the reason why I do that is just preserve the bigger fish. And that's the other thing I want to bring up too, is like, we catfish them, and we try to, we catch and release all the big fish, no matter if it's over the slot limit. And believe it or not, I think blues, especially blues, because they grow slow. And big fish make big fish, and everybody wants to catch big fish. So if you keep all these 40 pounds, 50 pound blue cats, you know, you're taking away the good genes. And they're not even good eating anyways, to my opinion. And there's plenty of small catfish out there eat, say 8 and 9 pounders. I mean, you keep five per person, that's a lot of fish. So
small fish, really, that 8 and 9 pounders, you know.
Yeah, that's small. So that's so back to Brittany's question about the size, you'll catch a lot of those, you know, those unders at, say, Milford, which, let's talk about Milford because they got a lot of blues there. There's a lot of under fish for everybody to keep, you know, about average 7-8 pounds. Your 25 inch under 25 inch fish weighs about between average 7-8 pounds.
Okay. So a lot fish. Let's say I'm going out with a couple guys this time of year, springtime, the fish are up shallow. You know, all the factors, I don't know what they are. The barometric pressure maybe is steady. Yeah. The wind is pushing some shad up onto a point that I can drive my truck right up there. Yeah. And I've got everything's right. I've got the right bait. I've got the right tackle. You know, it's probably not like crappie in the spawn where, you know, they're up shallow and you catch one, like, you know, basically every cast. So, you know, what's the action like on a day like that? Like a good day of fishing?
A really good day of fishing could be like catching one every cast, every 5 minutes. You can't keep your bait in the water.
Really?
There's days like that, you know, and, but it could start out slow, just like everything else. And then boom, it could just pick up because these fish are moving, you know? And mm-hmm. that's kind of what happened to us one night. We were anchored up in 2 feet of water. I mean, it was literally 2 feet of water, you know, and every time a fish would hit it, it was thrashing around. You could hear him like a shark. So we had a slow moment, and then bam, it was bam, bam, one after the other. And it was a freak show. I mean, that could be catfishing too. If the temperature is right and they're there, you could have a really, really good day, like you're crappie fishing. So,
yeah.
And then you probably run out of bait.
Yeah. So before we get too far, I realize maybe we talked a little bit about how blue cat fishing has become popular. Mm-hmm. So for any of our listeners that, you know, okay, a catfish is a catfish, right? You know, Kansas has what? flatheads, also known as a yellow cat. They've got channel cats, bullheads, and then the blue cats. So do you mind talking just a little bit about the difference? You know, what makes a blue cat a blue cat? Like, if I catch a catfish, how do I know? Because, all you know, let's say we catch a, I don't know, a 2-pound catfish. It could be a really big bullhead. It could be a small flathead or blue cat, or it could be a channel cat, right? So how would I know that, hey, this, I just caught a blue cat?
So the blue cats, you look at the, I believe the anal fin is a lot longer. And also when they're smaller, you could tell by the blue, like it's, they call it blue cat for reason. It looks a lot bluer than the channel cat. Channel cat's yellowish. Mm-hmm. And another thing I can tell is from the mouth. The blue cat's got like a rounder head and mouth, I believe, than a channel cat as well. And a channel cat has a smaller mouth. Of course, everybody knows how a flathead looks like. I mean, you can instantly know what a flathead is. I mean, they're brown. They're pretty looking color. They're like a rock, you know, flathead. Yeah. So, and bullhead is just, they're just short and just more stubbier, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but a lot of times, in the springtime, when some people confuse with blue cats or channel cats sometimes, because in the springtime when the channels are breeding, the males start to be, they turn like a really, really blue color. Mm-hmm. So, and really, really dark. So yeah. Those are pretty much your channel cats.
Okay.
When they're spawning. So just let people get mistaken. Oh, this is the blue cats. No, that dark blue color is actually when they're spawning, they change color, like crappie, you know, they change like a black color.
Yeah. Right. Dark. Yeah.
Dark black color. Yeah. When they're spawning. So. A lot of people confused with that. Yeah, I mean, you get automatic tell if it's a blue cat. They're light in color. It's like a grayish, mm-hmm. you know. So,
and I think you hit it there with that fin at the vent. The way that's shaped and the length of that fin.
Yep.
Okay.
That's cool to hear about the biology of those fish changing during the spawn. I don't think people realize these creatures are pretty unique.
Yes, they are. And a lot of people understand they're really, really diverse. You know, people don't understand. People just think fishing is fishing. But, you know, as much time I spend on the water, they're really, really diverse, you know, just like any other animals. And they're really smart, too, you mm-hmm. know. So they don't get big for being dumb.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. I want to jump to some techniques here, because I think this is a fun conversation.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite, say you're bank fishing or on a boat, what's your favorite go-to bait for blue cat fishing?
You know, this is, I always tell people, if I'm not going to go blue cat fishing if I can't have fresh bait, shad or any fresh bait, you know. A lot of folks approach me and, you know, say they got frozen. I mean, frozen will work, but if I want to not guarantee a catch, but if I know I'm going to catch a fish, it's going to be on fresh bait. If I can't get fresh bait, I'm not going to go catfishing. It's just simple. Now, blue cats anyways. Now, channel cat, I know we're talking about blue cats, but, you know, you can't forget about the channel cats. I think they're one of the harder fighting fish than blue cats, in my opinion, pound for pound. And the channel cats are easy. I use shrimp. I mean, unless I'm blue cat fishing.
Okay.
If I go channel cat fishing, shrimp is like my favorite bait when I was a kid, and we caught a lot of fish on it. But yeah, fresh shad is the way to go here in Kansas, you know.
So I've got a very good friend of mine. I love him dearly, and he took me out blue cat fishing for the first time a few years ago, and his at Milford actually, and his favorite go to bait is the chicken,
chicken. Chicken works
with cherry Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid, yep. I would say, yep, that's like one of the best. I mean, channel cats love Kool-Aid chicken. And I think cherry, I think, is my favorite flavor. Yep. Or don't forget the garlic. You gotta add garlic in there. Garlic will help.
Yeah. I was shocked when he was
it works for blues.
That.
Yeah, it works for blues too. So
I mean, we certainly caught a lot of big blue cat that day. So I'm a believer
now. Yeah, it works. It works and it smells good. It doesn't stink like shad. Did you guys catch anything big that day?
Do what?
You guys catch any size? What chicken when you guys went, like any big ones?
Yeah, we caught some pretty big ones. I'll have to flip back and look through. We caught one 40 pounder.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. It was hard for me to hold
look
up
at you
get
look
on the
you.
Boat.
So, So you know what's going, you know what's up.
Well, all I can say is I held the rod while he told me to do exactly what I did. So just I don't know if that's really my catch or not.
Hey, as long as you're holding the rod and bring the fish in, it's your fish. So it all matters. Yeah. That sounds like a good time though.
Yeah.
But yeah, chicken does work too. But me, I'm not gonna go unless I have fresh shad. Or you know, if here in Kansas, you know, or like not like Missouri, if you catch a game fish with a hook, you can use it as bait too, like white bass mm-hmm. or crappie. So as long as yeah. you catch it with a hook, remember, people don't understand. You gotta hook in the mouth. So
yeah. So the shad, well. you're probably catching those with like a cast net.
Oh yeah, yeah. You got to go around and throw a cast net, mm-hmm. get those shad. So then, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, are you cutting those shad like in the chunks? Or are you putting them on the hook whole?
So in the springtime, I tend to cut them smaller. But when it gets into the fall season, I'll cut huge chunks. I mean, I'll use the size of a fist when I'm blue cat fishing in the fall for big ones. Okay. Bigger bait, big fish.
Yeah. So then you're taking that bait, the fresh shad, catching with a cast net.
Mm-hmm.
Acquiring it, however you can acquire it, and you're hooking it, and then I'm guessing you're running that, you know, like below a swivel with maybe a weight above it.
Okay, yeah. So in the springtime, we do a lot of anchor fishing, just like you're bank fishing, and I'll just go down to a swivel with the bank lead, and maybe with a 2-3 foot leader with a hook. And that's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just simple. It's easy and simple. So and that's in the springtime technique. But when the water warms up, you know, what we do on the boat is called dragging baits, you know, the same principle but with a different weight and maybe a longer leader and a float to keep your bait off the ground when you're drifting. It's like walleye fishing. Like if a lot of walleye guys, you know, when they're drifting or you know, pulling baits, we call them for mm-hmm. walleyes, same mm-hmm. principle. Gotcha. But yeah, technique changes throughout the year, depending what time of the year you're fishing. Because mm-hmm. because that's how the fish are moving or how they're acting a certain time of the year too. But during the springtime, it's easy. Just with the bank weight and a 3-foot leader and a hook and a bait, and that's all you need.
Wait.
So go ahead. Sorry, Rob.
No, I like that, you know, simple.
Simple, yep. I love springtime fishing. Yep.
Yeah. Go to a bait shop, Walmart, you know, whatever the gas station that's got some tackle and you need some sturdy hooks, swivel, and a weight, right?
Yep. That's all you need in the springtime. It's simple, just like that. You know, that's why I love springtime fishing. You ain't gotta, you know, deal with playing of boars and all that stuff for the fall. But that, I guess that's another conversation for another time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think fishing has gotta be, you know, and there's surely data out there about a gateway drug to the outdoors, right?
Easy
thing for kids to get into. You know, you can learn very easily, if you will. You know, casting, you're gonna catch something, right? And catching fish with corn, right? Like exactly. It's possible.
And I think springtime is the best time to do it too, because the water is not as hot yet and the fish is more spread out. And you know, we all know kids get bored easy. And you want them to enjoy it. So you want to go during a time of year where you catch a lot of fish. Because I learned if you take them to a time where they don't catch no fish, they just hate fishing because it's boring. But it's actually really fun once you get them on the fish. So like I said, springtime is the best time to do it.
I've learned a lot about just the work through outdoor mentors we do. When hunting season ends, what do you do, right? Yeah. Well, we go fishing. So we found out is, yes, go fishing, plan, you know, to have extra rods and reels because a lot of them are going to be tangled up. But also, you know, take a football, you know, take some snacks, you know, take some other activities that kids can engage into
after no iPads
board. Exactly. Yeah.
No iPads.
Yeah. No iPads. Get them off the screen. But I do believe fishing is just a great way to get kids introduced to the outdoors, learn so much about, you know, the lakes, the ponds that we have in our communities and, you know, take the next step.
And the kids will learn eventually, just more than fishing, you know, and like I said, for us folks, it's relaxing and, you know, and eventually they'll learn that, you know, once they get out there more and learn how it is. So I mean for me, you know, like I love it. I just, it's a passion of mine, you know, and I love it as a kid because we always caught fish, but it can be humbling too sometimes, and they'll learn that in life, you know.
Well, I'm curious, Journey, talk a little bit about that, because you say it's relaxing, and I know it is. It's definitely a relaxing hobby, and you know, you can you can find joy in that, right? But you, yes. you do some competitions. That can't be super relaxing. What does that look like?
Oh, I mean, competition, it can be stressful because it's like, I mean, you're fishing for some money and I mean, it's two different realms. You know, when you're competing, it's totally different than relaxed fishing. Relaxed fishing, you don't care, you're catching fish. You're enjoying the outdoors, the sunset, the sunrise, the birds chirping, the water, whatever. But when you're in a competition, you're trying to catch that fish. And like I say, it could be real humbling sometimes when you can't, during a tournament, you can't catch a fish. And it just sucks, you know. You waste all that money. You know, you drove, hotels, whatever, food, you know, traveling. And you get nothing out of it. I mean, it's fun still. It's fun and you learn. But it's still a humbling experience. And then competition-wise. So, and I'm competitive, you know. And last year, we come so close so many times, you know, and it's just like, dang it. But all in all, it's fishing. It's still fun. At the end of the day, we still have fun. And we always learn, you know, and talking to all your friends. So it's more than a competition. But it's, you know, you see all the people you don't see for a while, different counties or even states.
Yeah, so, for sure.
That's why I love the sport. You never know.
You mentioned a little bit earlier, you were talking about you and a buddy were catching some blue cats at Milford. And I think maybe you said something about at night. I'm not sure if that's what you just said something about a sunset. So for our listeners, that's a thing with cat fishermen, probably more than any other species. Yeah. I know there's some walleye guys that are even crappie guys that are like, hey, you know, the big females are going to come up at night during the spawn or whatever.
Yeah.
It's probably more common with cat fishermen, at least my experience. So what are your thoughts on that as far as targeting blue cats? Is it better at night, dusk, dawn?
You know, I'm gonna be honest with you. I gone out there a lot, you know, and it's a 2-hour drive for me. And all the times I've gone, I catch them throughout the day. Just some days or maybe I'm not there long enough because it's 2-hour drive for me, but I would catch them at night. And there's guys say they never caught him at night, but we came out there and catch him at night. And then I come in the morning, and there's times I don't catch him in the morning. And there's times where it's lights out in the middle of the day. So I think during the springtime, it's only springtime. It just depends when these fish are moving up and depending on the temperature and depending on, you know, if the temperature is right, the water temperature is right, and the bait as well, too. Like versus the summertime, you know, we're in all this deep because the water is so hot. But the springtime, when the water temperature is just rising or dropping, you never know. That's why I tell people you can't catch them on the couch.
Right.
So, but you know, that time of the year where those fish start moving up, it could be a good day. It could be a bad day. You know, that's part of fishing.
Yeah. So the best time to go is when you can, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, and I feel like morning time is the best. You know, I feel like because the fish are waking up, but then again, I go at nighttime. I'm like, I figured these fish are sleeping, but they're out feeding. So, but like I said, but that day, that best day time was for the big fish was that night we had. But I had good days in the morning as well, too. But I didn't catch a big fish like that. Mm-hmm. So I can't really say. Just go out there and fish. You know? Especially in the springtime only.
So another thing that you touched on briefly when we started talking about blue cats in general, I think you said that they taste good, right? And I know that the channel cat, for a lot of folks, kind of get a bad rap, you know, they taste muddy, they taste fishy, you know, I don't like to eat channel cats. And so I'm curious what you think about blue cats as table fare. I've heard a lot of people say that they're good. And then the second part of that question is there anything certain that you do, let's say you catch two or three channel cats that you're like, hey, we're going to have a fish fry this weekend or whatever. You know, do you bleed them out? Do you keep them on a stringer in a live well? Do you kill them right away? Do you, you know, cut out all the red meat? There's all these like little nuanced things to cleaning fish. And is there anything specific that you do that you're like, hey, if you don't do this, it's not going to be as good?
Well, you know, I think in the springtime, I think channel cats or blue cats are good because the water is cold. I think it depends on the water temp. The water is cooler, meat tastes better. And number two, on how I cook it. You ask an Asian guy that. See, my grandma loves eating catfish. She loves catfish. And me personally, if it was me, of course, I don't bleed. I just throw them in, you know, live well when I get home, throw them on ice, whatever, and then fillet them out. But my grandma, she's old school. You know, she's an Asian lady. She loves catfish, and we don't waste anything. Sure. There's times where she told my friends to give her the head, because this is how we eat fish. You know, we just we make soup out of it. You know, we're like Indians. We don't waste everything. So she gets mad when you know, she knows that we throw the heads away, because that's the best part of the fish for her. You know, all the Asian folks. So, but me personally, I'm Americanized, so I fillet. I just lay it and then just batter it and do like we normally do, you know, with some hush puppies or french fries, with some tater sauce, so, tartar sauce. That's my favorite. But, you know, I think they all taste good in the springtime because the water is cold. But when the water warmer, of course, I think blue tastes a lot better too, because they are predators. They just don't eat anything. You know, blues are pretty selective on what they eat, like live bait, shad versus channel cat. They'll eat anything on the ground, in the mud, or whatever.
And cherry chicken.
And chicken. Rotten chicken.
and ducks and seagulls, right?
Ducks, seagulls. I mean, they'll eat anything, man. It's crazy what people find in live wells when they catch a big blue cat. It's crazy. But I mean, that's free food for them. They just birds just sit on the water, you know? So, But I think blue cat all in all tastes better. And then certain time of year, they about the same.
Gotcha.
So. And that goes back to, you know, when I try to tell people too, like the big fish, I don't think it tastes good at all. I think you're just wasting meat. You know, I think anything for me personally, I don't keep anything over 10 pounds if I'm out fishing. I throw everything, all the big fish back. But anything under, if I'm harvesting catfish, anything, I'll keep anything under 10 pounds. So, because I truly believe it's like the harvest and big fish make big fish. And who doesn't want to catch a big fish in the future, you know? So,
yep, I agree. Nothing screams spring and summertime to me than a good old fish fry.
Yes, it is. Yeah, exactly. And there's plenty of like 10 pounders, 8 pounders out there to feed. You know, you keep through you guys 15 fish. That's a lot of fillets.
Oh, yeah. That is a lot.
So, and I think the big fish, you know, you need those guys and girls to make other fish, you know? So that's just my opinion. People can argue me all they want, but I think selective harvest is really a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Journey, I want to transition into, I know you have a boat and a lot of people out there have boats to go fishing. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be like the flashy thing to do, but not a lot of us have boats, right?
Yeah.
So what are some just like quick techniques or things you would suggest fishermen or women to do to get out there and potentially catch blue cat off of the bank?
Like I said, springtime is the best time to go, and they're up in any shallow water, and you know, you can bank fish in any shallow water, like Mill, for instance. You know, you go up north, all the fish are up there. You see the banks with a lot of people up there. You know, and if you don't have a boat, like I said, springtime is the way to go. But when you transition to the summertime, most of the time you gotta have a boat, because fish are moving out to deeper water. But like I said, if you don't have a boat, springtime is the best time to catch anything, just like crappie. You know, we gotta find those deep brush piles, you know, with a boat. You can't just, you know, can't reach them sometimes. So
yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, yep. Like I said, bring kids out fishing in the springtime, because there's fish are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the time of year where they're up shallow feeding and anybody can catch them.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So you mentioned, you know, they're moving up shallow to pursue the shad. When do blue cats spawn? Are they like typical other catfish?
Yes.
And then are they spawning, you know, are they moving up like in creeks and shallow water to spawn, or are they spawning out in deeper water?
So there's basically a timeline, or depending on the water temperature, you know, about June, close to July, when the water temperature goes between 60 and 80, that's when the blue cats start spawning. And when they're spawning, you won't catch them. You won't catch them anywhere in the lake. They're just focused on spawning. You'll catch little ones, but the big ones are out, you know, spawning up anywhere where there's rocks.
Okay.
And then after the blue cats, your channel cats will come up, you know, with the water a little warmer. And then the last catfish to spawn is your flatheads late in the summertime. So when the blue cats are spawning, they go anywhere with rocks. It could be shallow water. I think some go deep too, but I'm not sure about that. But they find any rocks with burrows or the holes in rock crevices. And what the males do is the female is going to lay eggs, and the male is just, you know, give oxygen to the eggs or the youngs in the barrel. Like in the summertime, you ever catch a flathead or a blue cat with their head up? Those are the males, because the males are the one who are fertilizing the eggs and taking care of them, pretty much giving them oxygen. And when they do that, what they're doing is rubbing their heads on the rocks, like swimming. So they're pretty much bringing their hand in the rocks and fanning their tails to give those eggs or their fries oxygen. That's why
fanning those nests. Yeah.
Fanning those nests. Yep. So, and this, it's just crazy what these fish go through during spawn. I mean, they're beat up, they're skinny, they're not feeding, they're nasty looking, you know? So
yeah,
like I said, they're pretty intelligent and diverse fish. So,
but so
I say shout.
You mentioned Milford, that you've had some success there, and it's, you know, that's the biggest reservoir, largest body of water in Kansas. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity there, campgrounds mm-hmm. and, yep. You know, hotels over at Junction City and yep. Manhattan. So Acorn. Somebody was like, hey, I'm going to take the family. The Acorns Resort is there.
Acorn's nice. Take yep.
your tent. There's core area where you can just, you know, stake out a spot. It's a lot of opportunity there, but, you know, maybe you're not looking for a big trip or you're not close to Milford. Are there any other hot spots? I know I'm not far from Melvern Lake or the Coffee County Fishing Lake, and I know people have success.
Yes.
Blue cat fishing there. Is there another lake that you think listeners should check out, or the Kansas River?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, Melvern is really good. See, first, I've never been to Melvern. Coffee County is really good for blue cats as well. Really good fish there. And you mentioned the Missouri River. I haven't fished the Missouri River, but if you want to catch monster catfish, I'm talking about 100 pounders. I got friends that catch between 80, 100 pounders on the Missouri. That's one of my, that is one of my, goals, is to make it out to the Missouri River. It's just
bucket, you know, list catfish.
Yeah. Huh? One of the bucket list places to go. If you want to catch your, you know, 80s and 90s and 100s, the Missouri River is the way to go. Cheney's real good as well too. You're around Cheney got some good blue cats. Who else is there? They got, yeah, those are the main ones that I know they got. Oh, El Dorado is real good as well too. So, and El Dorado is coming up, but it's a lot of trees there. But Cheney got some good blue cats.
Yep, that was one that we recently had our co-partner Grandpa Fish, or Brent Frazee, talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think I heard him say multiple times, "Don't sleep on Cheney. Don't sleep mm-hmm. on Cheney."
So. I love that. That's the one of my home. Like, I love Cheney Lake. Cheney got a lot of great fish, you know. And it's like 30 minutes from my place, and I go there for 3-4 hours, and I go to work. But hey, but yeah, I don't mean to change the subject and all, but we still back to that question, Brent, when you asked me about, you know, if you don't have a bow, or you know. You know, the best thing to do is, there's a lot of guys out there too, Britt, you know, that fish for blue cats. You got like a whole bunch of them. So you just look up, you know, Milford guide services. There's plenty of those out there too. So, and that's the best way to get on easy fish as well, because those guys know what they're doing. And sure. They're all pretty good.
Yeah, good point. So, I think sometimes we forget about the outfitting business on the water, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just like hunting, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't have to have anything. You know, just go out there and learn and catch fish, and they clean it for you if you want. Yeah. So.
Right on.
So I didn't mean to change the subject on that one.
No, I love it. I love being able to share that information with our listeners.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I think at least in my experience, even if you're like, hey, I'm a DIYer, I'm a public lands, I can't afford, you know, whatever. At least my experience has been, if you do something like that, hire a guide. Mm-hmm. to help you figure it out. Maybe yeah. you even have a boat and you can rig up and do it. But those guys, like you said, day in, day out, they know that body of water. They know what the fish are doing. They've got the techniques dialed in. So go with them for a day or two, figure it out. And they're not going to be mad at you if you come show up the next weekend in your own boat and can't, you know, it's a public waterway, right? So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then not just that, you're out there, you know, learning and catching fish, you're putting food on the table as well too. I mean, yeah, it costs some money, but hey, you're learning and you're putting mm-hmm. food on the table. So can't complain, right?
Right. Well, and you know, I don't have a fishing boat. I've got a couple kayaks and like a little Coleman crawdad, if you call that a fishing boat.
That's
and so my
pond,
kids
man.
And I, yeah, we hit farm ponds and stuff. But you know, when my wife and I talk about, hey, you know, it'd be cool to have a boat and take that fishing or whatever, and it's like, yeah, or once or twice a year, I could spend $300 or $400, go get on fish, have a great trip, and not have to care for a boat, winterize a boat, store a boat, like all the things that goes
there's, with, a lot, you know, there's a lot into it, man.
Yeah.
You know, going to like guide service, you know, when it's funny that you bring that up. I mean, me, myself, I mean, I get everything for fishing, but sometimes I don't mind paying a guide just to relax and just, you know, just fish. Cause it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'll just decide I want to go play a guide just to sit around just real fishing and then clean it for me. Cause I think it's fun sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
It's just fishing is fun, period, but it's just less work.
There you go. So I feel like we've delved deep into the realm of blue cats in Kansas. I really appreciate all your insight there. How do you feel about doing a lightning round?
Sure. Let's try it out. Let's do it.
All right, cool.
I love it.
So we'll jump in here. 8 questions, just kind of this or that. What's your favorite something, you know?
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. So question number one, we talked about how you are a lifelong angler and you love to fish for all the fish, right? So what's your favorite species? Which if you're like, this is my...
Man, that is so hard to answer because I just love fishing. And, you know, certain times of year I go for different species and they all have that thump and they all got that, you know, oh man, you know, you never know. But... all around this, my favorite is wiper fishing. I just, man, okay. them fish. If you guys want to go, just give me a shout. You know, I know Chini pretty well. You'll catch 7 to 10 pounders, you know, and it just, when they hit it, just nonstop action and your arms will get tired catching them.
Heck yeah. So that's fun.
That's a good problem to have. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. That's one of my favorite. And I've been chasing the guys for a while now, and man, it just never gets old. I'll go out there for a couple hours and catch a whole bunch and get tired of catching them. I never thought I'd say that, but I do get tired of catching them sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just so fun.
Cool.
Your arms will be sore.
Yeah, right on. So I think you've answered this throughout the podcast, but you could surprise me. So question number two, what's your favorite time of year to fish on the Great Plains specifically?
That's a tough one for me too. I can tell you summer is my worst time of year.
Okay.
I honestly think spring is part of the best because it's just hard because I fish for different species of fish and spring can be good and spring can be bad for depending on what I'm going, depending on species. Like spring, my favorites for catfish for spring and crappie spring, bass spring. But see, for me, the wipers, I hate spring fishing for them, you know? So maybe spring because I'm catching more different species during spring than I can anything else.
Okay.
So, and wintertime is great for crappie too.
Right.
See, it's so hard.
Sure.
Let's go spring. I think spring is my favorite time because it's not hot. It's not cold.
Right.
Temperature is perfect. So.
And there's no ticks if you're out on the boat.
No mosquitoes, no ticks. I can go in tall trees and get in the honey hole, you know, or grass, whatever, at a pond or something. Not getting worried about ticks or chiggers all over the place. And that happened before. So spring will be it.
Okay. So number three, do you prefer to fish and learn like big bodies of water, like reservoirs, like Milford or John Redman or Cheney, or do you prefer like smaller lakes, community lakes, you know, state fishing lakes, that kind of thing?
I don't want to be that guy, I don't like fishing small lakes. You know, I like them all because they all have their own challenges, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't a crazy angler, I'd say small lakes. But since I love fishing so much, I like it all because it's every single one of them got their own challenges and different, just different skill sets. And I don't know. I think I'd rather fish big lakes because it tests my skills. I mean, I think big lakes for me then. I think it's got to be big lakes because that tests your knowledge or your everything.
Gotcha. So number four, this is an equipment question. And I've noticed it recently, like crappie fishermen, for example, especially guys that are fishing brush piles, like you said, in the fall and winter, have switched to like heavy braid. And then if they get hung up in the trees, they just straighten out the hook. I know a lot of guys have kind of made the switch to braid, especially like guides. We're talking about guides where they're like, you know, I can spool up with braid, and leave it on all year and not really have to worry about swapping line all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just curious, as much fishing as you do, do you primarily fish monofilament or do you fish braid?
I fish mainly braid. I love braid. Like you said, I never had to change out my braid for my catfishing rods or my wiper rods. And there's some rods of mine that I had braid in for the last 3 years, and they still doing a good job. But now bass fishing, I use fluorocarbon. Because the reason why is bass is more, they're more like a lot smarter, I guess you could say. So, but most of the time I use braid. I love braid fish, braid line. Like I said, you never have to change it, and it's a lot stronger.
Okay.
And I hate that stretch too. That stretch. I don't like that stretch. I like the braid. You can feel a lot better with braid.
Yep, for sure. So question number five. So we've got eight total questions. So we're halfway there.
That's awesome questions.
Question number five. So you've got a boat set up, you're fishing tournaments. I'm guessing you're running some kind of electronics, sonar. What are you running now? And then is that like, are you happy with it? Or you're like, man, this is what I want to switch to.
I'm running hummingbirds in my boat, all hummingbird and Minn Kota stuff, trolling motor. And I like it because I'm used to it. You know, a lot of people ask, you know, what's best out there? It's to be honest with you, it's Chevy, Ford, and Ram. It's what you're used to and what you like. They all break down. They all have their issues. Yes, some could be a lot harder to use than others, more complicated. Like I said, it's like our trucks, you know, Ford, Chevy, or Ram. I like hummingbirds. I'm used to it. I've been using it all the years, and I love it. It's only as good as the user. If you can use it and good with it and it all works, then, you know, so be it. That's just my opinion. But in the best world, it's better to have a little bit of everything, you know. I like to have a Ford with the Allison transmission with a Ram tow package, you know.
Custom build.
yeah. But I'm a hummingbird guy through and through. I love hummingbird. That's all I've been using.
Gotcha.
And it works great for me, so.
Perfect. Okay. Question number six. In your opinion, what is the most underrated, underappreciated fish species in the Great Plains to fish for?
I think it's wipers. I think they're trash fish, but they're just fun to catch, and I think they're the most underrated species.
Easy, good. I thought that might you'd be like, oh, but this fish and that fish, nice work. Yeah, okay.
Confidence.
Yes, I think they're fun to catch, and you know, if kids got into wiper fishing, they'll probably like it more than blue cat fishing, I promise you.
Yep. Okay.
You know, because it's, you know, it's just a lot of fun, and you feel it's a lot of fighting.
Oh, they fight hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
You better have some tough gear because they're gonna test it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're drag peeling all day long. I love that sound. It's like music to my ears. I get goosebumps talking about it because it's about that time again where I'm about to go after them, and I can't wait.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so two questions left. Number seven, we're going to go culinary here. So your favorite fish recipe, and it doesn't have to be something that you prepare, right? So you said, hey, I like the fried fish with the French fries and hush puppies, you know, but you also mentioned like, you know, you grew up, maybe your grandma was kicking like a soup or whatever it is. Like if you were like, hey, this is my absolute favorite recipe to eat, what is that?
My most favorite is a catfish dish is carp. It's like a carp. I'm gonna speak in Vietnamese here. It's called Da Khao. Okay, that's Vietnamese.
Okay.
Da Khao. That's how you say in Vietnamese. And what it is like caramelized. So we'll clean the catfish completely. You know, gut them and clean the skin and everything, and chop them into pieces. And they make put them on a special pot and caramelize. It's so good. It's awesome. And they have it here in these Wichita restaurants, Asian restaurants too.
Really?
So it's like a brown caramelized sauce. It's really, it's delicious. Eat it with rice. It's the best thing ever.
I'm convinced.
Yeah.
Instead of traditional fried fish. Yeah. It's awesome. And like, I always try to take my friends that like fishing to let them try that kind of cuisine. You know, it's different.
Nice. Yeah. So I'm hearing that Brittany are going to go to Cheney and go with you and catch a bunch of wipers.
Let's go.
And then we're going to run over to Wichita and eat some.
Yes, I'll take you guys.
All right.
Let's do it.
Awesome.
There's a restaurant. There's an awesome restaurant here in Wichita that has that kind of, you want the home cooking, you know, home style, home motherland cooking, and it's awesome. It's taste is the best, one of the best sandwich stalls. We go there all the time.
Sounds good to me.
You can have your catfish soup or your catfish caramelized. I don't know what the name of it in English, but it's like a caramelized, you know, catfish. It's still good.
Nice.
A lot of flavors. Yep.
Cool. I love it.
Okay. Take you back to the Vietnam motherlands.
Heck yeah. So last question. And you talked a little bit about, you know, we've talked a fair amount about getting beginner anglers, whether it's a kid or somebody that's, you know, an adult onset angler. In your opinion, what's the best way to start out? So I guess, you know, maybe the species and the time of year. And like if I was, you know, let's say it's a combination. I've got a kid and they come home from school, summer break, and they're like, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, whatever, I really want to go fishing this summer, and I don't have any experience in that. What's the best way for me to accomplish that and be at least somewhat successful?
So I like to take them to like a pond, you know, especially a kid with a bobber and a worm, because you're always going to catch perch. I think kids have a blast catching perch, and I think that's the best way to get them started fishing. Go to a pond with a lot of green perch and all that, and give them a worm and let them go at it with a little bobber. I think that's the best way to go. Now, for kid wise, I think that's the best way to get them started. Because you can go to these reservoirs and not catch anything, and they hate fishing for life. So,
So like shallow up in the rocks, a little bit of structure.
Yeah, just a little structure, you know, like a small pond or something. Mm-hmm. You know, even these neighborhood ponds, they got a lot of big fishing because nobody fishes them. And I think that's the best way to have them enjoy it. I mean, just put a worm and you'll catch channel cats and stuff like that, and they'll have a blast. But I think some of these reservoirs, they're just so humbling that I don't think it's a good way to start kids out. You know,
because
it's so bigger, and you know, you never know.
Yeah, well, those bobbers go a long way too. You tell those kids focus on that; they'll tell you that bobber went under 100 times.
You know what? I love bobber fishing, and like right now, you know, right now the crappie spawn should be going on, and put a jig on a bobber or a minnow around Cheney Marina. You should catch a whole bunch of crappie there, and that should be a good time right now too. So now, and it goes back to that question: if you say summertime. But springtime, you know, right now, if you get kids out there, you catch crappie on rocks right now, like right off the bank. So it should be easy catch.
Heck yeah. Okay.
I love it. Journey, you did great. You shared so much information with our listeners. I'm really excited to share this with them so they can hopefully use it and take some advice that you've given them and be successful out there in the spring. How can folks connect with you if they're looking to maybe ask you some questions or anything like that?
Well, I got a Facebook page. My dog's barking, Kato. I got a Facebook page, Journey Chow with two Y's, and then you can find me on Instagram as well too. So that's the best way to find me. And I give my numbers out to everybody. I get a lot of questions about fish finder stuff and about fishing. So they can contact me personally or just message me on, you know, Facebook, and I can help them out the best I can.
Okay, so we'll link your social media.
Yeah,
on the show notes, and if people want to follow you on Instagram or shoot you a DM, connect, and you'll send them the pins on where to go catch fish, right?
Oh yeah, I'll help them out. I like to, you know, it's funny. I mean, if I know fishing is fun, but I like people to put the work in as well too.
Oh yeah,
so they can learn. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But just like hunting, this is the same thing as hunting. So, I would definitely like to take. I would love to take you guys out one of these days. It should be pretty good here pretty soon, so I'll guarantee you will catch some fish.
Yeah, let's count on it. Thank you.
You gotta take me hunting. I don't hunt. I fish you around.
Well, we can change that.
Yeah.
I'm a good shooter. I'll show you up. I can shoot some clay pigeons or something.
So. Maybe we can do a surf and turf trip.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let me know ahead of time. We'll go chicken catch fish, and I'll take you back here in Wichita. We'll go to that restaurant, try some of the, you know, homemade cuisine.
Yeah.
Perfect. Cool. I love it. Well, Journey, thanks for joining us. And if you're a listener, be sure to share this episode, share our other episodes, and give us a good follow.
All right.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you guys on the next one.
Yeah, we'll see you out there.
See you guys later.
See ya.